Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome, Bushman Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I'm of course William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, and how's it going?
I'm doing okay, man. I mean, not, I wouldn't say great, because of the shocking news we just found out yesterday. But other than that, I'm doing okay. But I'm glad to have you on the show as always.
Thanks, man. Glad to be on here as usual.
Thank you. Thank you. And, I'm also equally happy to have you ladies and gentlemen, to check out this episode, of Sports Urban Legend. On today's show, we're going to unfortunately talk about the King, passing of, you know, a great actor who wowed and captivated audiences for, you know, in this past decade, you know, in such a short amount of time. You know, of course, I'm talking about the passing of Chadwick Boseman, you know, the Black Panther star. You know, we're gonna talk about that very soon. We're also going to talk about, you know, the current state of sports. You know, MLB, NBA, you know, postponing games, you know, because of, you know, the horrible shooting of, Jacob Blake recently. You know, we're also going to talk about, you know, WWE, what happened on, SummerSlam. Which happened this past Sunday. You know, give us our thoughts about that. And, of course, you know, what was going on in the world of wrestling and sports, as always. But most importantly, you know, we'd love to hear from you. The number is 563-999-3529. The number is 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. You know, we'd love to hear from you. But unfortunately, you know, we have to, you know, I thought prior to this week, I mean, prior to, you know, yesterday, Friday, I thought I was going to lead off the show with, you know, with the pro, with the, you know, with the athletes protesting in light of, you know, the, you know, Jacob Blake shooting. But, you know, we're going to lead off with the shocking passing of, Chadwick Boseman. As we all know, you know, this, you know, he starred in memorable roles as, you know, the Black Panther, which, of course, you know, his character appeared in the Avenger films, Infinity War, Endgame, Civil War, wait, that was Captain America, I think, the Civil War movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was where his debut was, if memory serves me right, before he had before he had his own movie. And, of course, you know, he played Jackie Robinson in 42, and James Brown, Get On Up, Thurgood Marshall. I mean, this guy, you know, he had such a incredible career at such a short time. And the shocking thing of all is that for most of these roles, you know, the height of his career is when he was secretly battling, you know, colon cancer. I mean, it's just, you know, shocking. before I get to your thoughts, I'm just going to play this clip from, you know, E.T. and, you know, just give you a little, you know, feedback of, you know, people who knew him, you know, how they reacted to his passing. So we'll be right back. Can you hear it?
A little bit. It's a little low.
All right, let me put it start up again.
Green Larson tweeted,
"Do you hear it better?"
Yeah, I hear.
Can you hear it good?
Yeah.
Can you hear it good? Let me put it.
Writing that Chadwell was a true original. Gabrielle Union tweeted that Chadwick Boseman has died at the age of 43 after a 4-year battle with cancer.
You can hear it, right?
A little bit. Still sounds far away.
All right, sorry, folks. Let me just try to figure out a thing.
Shortly after news broke, some of Hollywood's biggest stars took to social media to be Chadwick Boseman has died at the age of 43 after a 4-year battle with cancer. Shortly after news broke, some of Hollywood's biggest stars took to social media to pay tribute to the Black Panther star. Brie Larson tweeted that the actor was someone who radiated power and peace. Ruffalo wrote that he was one of the all-time greats. Chris Evans shared several pics with his friend on Instagram, writing that Chadwick was a true original. Gabrielle Union tweeted that the late star was pure excellence and class and grace. Oprah called Chadwick a gentle, gifted soul, while Don Cheadle shared this pic on Twitter, writing that he was always light and love. Chris Hemsworth described Chadwick as one of the kindest, most genuine people he had ever met, while Sterling K. Brown thanked him for being a friend. Kerry Washington said the late star was a warrior of light at the very end. In a statement to ET, Denzel Washington called him a gentle soul and a brilliant artist. And Zoe Saldana said he left a lasting impression because of his energy, poise, and gentle manner. Other stars, including Chris Pratt, Ryan Reynolds, Halle Berry, Joey King, Ashton Kutcher, Octavia Spencer, Mandy Moore, Aisha Tyler, Zachary Levi, Tiffany Haddish, Mariah Carey, and Kate Hudson also honored the late star on social media, while Reese Witherspoon tweeted, "May God bless you and carry you home." News of Chadwick's passing was announced on his official social media accounts Friday, reading in part, quote, "A true fighter, Chadwick persevered through it all and brought you many of the come-to-love so much, from Marshall to the Five Bloods, August Wilson's Mulaney's Black Bottom, and several more. All were filmed during and between countless surgeries and chemotherapy. He died in his home with his wife and family by his side." Boseman was perhaps best known for his role as Black Panther in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
This whole Marvel thing is just like, doesn't make any sense. Like, you feel like you're walking around in a dream.
He was set to star in the Black Panther sequel, which is set to hit theaters in May 2022.
This experience, you know, it's hard to explain it until you see it. This experience will be different than any other you've seen, that's for sure. The themes, the conflicts will be things that superhero films have never touched on before. This cast is one that you've never seen before. Marvel was brave enough to have this Black cast, mostly Black cast. So this is an experience you've never seen before for reasons I cannot even say.
Yeah, man. You was able to hear it?
Yeah, a bit. A bit. It was manageable. I could hear it.
Cool. Yeah, so, yeah, before I let you, yeah, I guess I'm going to, yeah, let you know what they wrote before I let you get to say what you have to say. Yeah, basically, on his official Twitter account, you know, someone wrote on the behalf of, you know, Chadwick Boseman, they said, "It is with immeasurable grief that we confirm the passing of Chadwick Boseman. Chadwick was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer in 2016 and battled with it these last 4 years as it progressed to stage 4. A true fighter, Chadwick persevered through it all and brought you many of the films that you have come to love so much. From Marshall to The Five Bloods, August Wilson's Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, and several more, all were filmed during and between Colin's surgeries and chemotherapy. It was the honor of his career to bring King T'Challa to life in Black Panther. He died in his home with his wife and family by his side. The family thanks you for your love and prayers and asks you that you continue to respect their privacy during this difficult time. Chadwick Boseman, he was 43. Mac, yeah. I found out about this, from you. So, what was your thoughts when you found out about it? And, what was your thoughts, basically?
Well, I was shocked, man, to hear that, man. Very surprising. I mean, the guy was in the prime of his life, his movie career. 43 years old, man. Still a young age, I think, And the fact that he had colon cancer these past 4 years and was still acting to bring us movies, I mean, that's very inspiring, And it's just shocking to know that he was battling this disease all this time. And, he kept it to himself. I noticed he was getting thinner, but I never suspected that, he had a disease, but yeah, it's just tragic, man. This guy was a brilliant actor. Had the Jackie Robinson movie which really jump-started his career. Then of course the Black Panther movie, which made him a big name, and then most recently I saw The Five Bloods last year with my friend. He was good in that as well. But he was on the path of becoming the next Denzel Washington. A lot of people compared him to Denzel Washington, and Denzel Washington was even his mentor, when he started. So, it's just a blow to, just to the acting community and for fans, They're not going to be able to see him on screen anymore. And I know a lot of Marvel fans out there, well, not a lot, but some are being selfish and, are asking, well, who's going to do the Panther movie now, the next one coming up? And, right now that doesn't matter. You could put that on the back burner because, his passing is more important. And if they decide not to do a Black Panther 2, I could care less at this point, because to me, he'll always be the real Black Panther. That's how good he was in that role. That movie made billions of dollars, and it was mainly because of his acting in that movie. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know how they will replace that, but man, we lost, one of the great black actors, and my condolences to him and his family, and rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman.
Man, I echo your sentiments, to a T, man. He's already missed already. When I found out about this yesterday, man, I was, just as shocked as when I found out, Kobe passed away, plane crash,
And what made it strange, he passed away on Jackie Robinson Day.
Yeah.
When he played Jackie Robinson,
Yep, I was just about to say that too. Yep. That's what made it even more surprising because every other year, what was I gonna say? Jackie Robinson Day would have fell on April 15th. The day he made his, he broke the color barrier in 1947. But yeah, it's just so ironic that because of the COVID, The Jackie Robinson Day was, pushed to yesterday, and that ironically was the day it was announced that he passed away. So it's very ironic. But yeah, he will be missed. He's already missed already. And, yeah, my thoughts and prayers, you know, go out to him and his family. I mean, it's really sad. But like you said, it's very inspirational that, you know, the height of his career, during the height of his career is when he was going through the you know, the toughest time of his life, battling, you know, the colon cancer, but he didn't let it get him down. He, you know, he used that small window of, you know, of opportunity, you know, the last four years of his life, you know, bringing joy to, you know, his fans all over the world, you know, encouraging people, you know, to try to be the better version of themselves, and, you know, visiting kids in hospitals, and, you know, just being a good co-star, and, you know, just leaving his mark, you know, shining his light, you know, and just, you know, being a good dude. Like, no one literally has a bad word to say about him. He was a professional and a class act, and, you know, there won't be another person like him. I mean, it's so sad. I mean, yeah, and I echo your sentiments wholeheartedly. Like, as much as I'd want, you know, I wanted to see Black Panther 2, you know, but to me, I mean, that's just a wash right now, man. Because it's like, there's nobody. He was irreplaceable. You can't replace him. Like anybody who's gonna, you know, would try to take up that role. I mean, it's just, it's gonna pale in comparison. I mean, it's, you know, it's something I would never do if I was a director. But, you know, Hollywood, they always want to remake stuff, and yeah, it's bound to happen, you know. But, you know, it's really sad that, you know, the most important thing, you know, he had a young life, 33 years old, recently got married, you know, and, you know, his life is already over already. I mean, it's sad, you know. That's why you gotta make the most of your life while you're alive, you know, because tomorrow isn't promised anybody. So.
Yeah, you're right. Right on that. Live today like it's your last.
Yeah, my thoughts and prayers go out to his family. Yeah, I don't even know what else to say, but, you know, he will definitely be missed, and he's missed already. Oh, yeah, yes. One more thing. I mean, obviously, he's been in a lot of iconic films. So, which one would you say is your favorite film of his?
Well, definitely Black Panther. I mean, no question. Jackie Robert, the 42 would be the second one, but by far Black Panther is my favorite, you know, because I'm a superhero fan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he did a great job in that role as Black Panther. That's why I will always see him as Black Panther. No other actor can fill that role after him.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's the easiest, obvious choice. Black Panther is my favorite, you know, role of his. I mean, you know, Black Panther, you know, was such a great film. That's easily my favorite film of his. And, you know, obviously you'd have to put all his, the movies he's been in, you know, Civil War, you know, Infinity War, Endgame, you know, they're all like in one big ball when you think about it. If you have to pick one, yeah, obviously it would be Black Panther. And then, you know, non-T'Challa, you know, Marvel, the second one would be Jackie Robinson, because he looked like Jackie Robinson, and he, you know, like all his characters that he played, you know, Get On Up with James Brown, every character he plays, man, that just show you, you know, the authenticity of his, you know, his acting skills, you know, that he had the courage and respected the family of the, you know, of the actual people he's portraying, you know, these iconic people that he played. that he got it right. And that's the most important thing. The families of the people that he played, he lived up to that status, that level of what those people live their lives. So, that's a critic to his acting. So
no doubt.
So yeah, man. Again, yeah. I thought some prayers go out to him, to his family. Crazy, man. Never thought, like, he was those actors that you thought, like, basically you'd grow old and see him do, like, 100-plus films, Unfortunately, that wasn't, he did the most that he could in, the short life he lived. So.
Yep. No question. You'll be missed.
Yeah, no doubt. But switching gears, man, to sports, basically. The world of sports, basically everything took a pause past couple of days because, there's rightful outrage because of what's been going on, for centuries in this world and in this, in this country as well, And this year has definitely highlighted it. The racial injustice with Jacob Blake being, shot 7 times in the back, while he's, in front of his woman and his kids. And, you thought after what happened to George Floyd and, all these other, horrible tragedies that's been happening in recent years, you would think, change would have happened, but unfortunately, Jacob Blake is a recent story of, a black man being shot. Fortunately for him, he's alive, but unfortunately he's paralyzed from the neck, from the waist down, and but unfortunately he's still chained up. According to his parents, he's still chained up even though he can't move. And it's just a sad situation. It's a horrible situation. It just shows how cruel people can be, and it's not just a psychological problem. It's a sin problem. People, don't value other people because they, they look different or are different, and they just play judge, jury, and executioner. Like, even in the classic movies, it's a horrible, it's a horrible thing to shoot somebody, let alone while they're fleeing. Only villains do stuff like that. And it's just a tragedy. And, my thoughts, family, and I'm hoping for a miracle that he could, get better from this horrible shooting I'm hoping God will make a miracle for him, because this is messed up. I mean, he literally got shot fleeing the situation and getting shot in front of his family. Like, that's just there's no words to describe it. And as a result, the NBA athletes, they postponed the NBA playoffs, and even baseball, everybody is, coming together to say that, basically they're not gonna, they have a voice. People can't be, be getting killed, and we're just gonna act like business as usual. and it's just a sad time. You know, where people are battling COVID, and then you got to deal with the, you know, racial tensions. You know, that's been going on for centuries. You know, because of, you know, the history of slavery and how, you know, how stuff have not been resolved. Things have gotten better from, obviously, centuries ago, but obviously the sin problem of slavery, of racism, is still here. And until people come together and, you know, honestly discuss these stuff and try to things better, you know, we're still going to be keeping having these discussions. So, Mac, what is your thoughts on this?
Well, yeah, it's, you know, same old thing that keeps happening, you know, with African-American males being shot by police. I mean, there is a little bit of backstory around this, you know, Jacob Blake shooting. I don't want to go too much into it, but, you know, it's very unfortunate for both sides. And, you know, right now you have a lot of protests going on right now in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and you have athletes boycotting games. The NBA, you know, right now the playoffs are suspended, you know, until further notice. And I commend the NBA players for standing up against racial injustice and taking a stand against it. So I commend them strongly for that. But yeah, man, it's just unfortunate. I, you know, don't have many words to say about it. I mean, been seeing it the last several months. I don't know what else to say. What hasn't already been said? You know, we just got to do better as a country against the racial injustice, against police brutality, or, you know, racial tension. That, you know, things got to change.
Yep. Absolutely. And, you know, kudos to the players, you know, to say, you know, we're not going to take it anymore. You know, it's just, it's too much. Like, too many people are getting killed. You know, it's just, it's ridiculous. And, you know, on the baseball side of it, Dom Smith, you know, from the Mets, you know, he was a big catalyst, you know, on the MLB side of it, of, you know, bring awareness to it. And a few days ago, you know, Dom Smith, out of character, you know, he broke down and cried because of this, the situation that, you know, that this country is going through with this racial tension and murders that have been happening to Black people, you know, in recent years, you know, not even going back to you know, the civil rights movement. I mean, just, you know, talking about these stuff that are happening now, which, you know, it just shows. I don't even know what to say, man. It just shows that, like, you know, there's still bigotry, man. There's still people who discriminate against people and just view other people's lives don't matter because they don't look or think like them. And it's, I mean, that's why we're still in this situation, you know. Because, like I said, it's not just a psychological problem. It's a sin problem. You know, people think that they could just do whatever they want, you know, because it'll make them money, you know. And that's why, you know, there was systematic racism that caused slavery to happen in the first place. And, you know, it still stems from it. And then you have some rogue cops, you know, killing people who are unarmed for no reason other than racism, basically. And it's messed up. So, I mean, I don't even know what to say about this. I mean, we've been having these talks for the, you know, past months, and nothing's changing. But I guess we'll just segue into the games, you know, as a result of, you know, the games being postponed. You know, the Mets played a doubleheader Friday night. And, you know, Mets, you know, they upset, you know, the Yankees. You know, Yankees had a 4-0 lead. And basically, Pete Alonso tied the game up. The aforementioned Dom Smith, you know, he hits a home run to make the Mets take the lead. Jake Mariznick hit his first home run as a Met. And then Edwin Diaz had his best game as a Met by far, by striking out the side against the Yankees on game one. And in game two, you know, Mets oddly were the home team playing in Yankee Stadium, which was a weird sight. I must admit, I'm pretty sure you were weird out about that.
Yeah, that was weird.
And basically, Yankees had Mets had a quick 1-0 lead. Mets blew it, and then you know, the Yankees had to lead the whole prior to the 1-0 lead. The Yankees had to lead pretty much most of the game. Until Amedeo Rosario hit a 2-run home run in the bottom of the seventh off Chapman, you know, which in the bottom of the seventh, because the new rules this year is that doubleheaders are seven innings. So as a result, Mets became the first team in 114 years to beat the typical home team on the road, but Mets are the home team. I mean, that's just a weird stat, you know. So this is the first time in 114 years that a typical road team is playing as a home team, hits a walk-off home run, and beats the original home team in their own ballpark. So, I mean, what's your thoughts on?
Well, I know you were celebrating yesterday, as were other Mets fans on those two wins. But let me just tell you this: you were playing a AAA team yesterday, because a lot of our stars right now are injured, except for DJ LeMay, who just came back today. But Aaron Judge is on the IL. Stanton is on IL. Gleyber Torres. Paxton is on IL at the moment. Britton went on IL. I mean, you know, this is like last year. You know, and I don't know why these guys keep getting injured. But it just keeps happening. So we're missing a lot of big pieces right now, trying to stay afloat. I mean, we had lost 7 games after that second doubleheader yesterday, until today when we ended up winning, what was it? I think it was 2-1, right?
2-1, yeah. 2-1.
The final.
Yeah, Matanz is the former Yankee. He, you know, he
helped us out there.
He had a wild pitch that scored. Was it Gardner? I don't even remember. But yeah, you guys scored
Frazier.
Scored Frazier. So. You know, you guys. Maybe Gardner was at the plate. I can't even remember.
But, yeah, Gardner was at the plate. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. You know, the this is not a typical Yankee offense. You know, a lot of the guys are on the IL. You know, that aren't playing. But there has been so many Met teams in the past 20 years and in recent history, where the tables are always turned, where the Mets always get their butt kicked. And, you know, we say, you know, hey, our team is injured. You know, most of our players are injured, because usually the Mets are the ones that are always getting injured all the time. And the Yankees are always healthy, you know,
until, with the exception of last year, these past few years or so. But you know, you guys are always like, please, we're making excuses, like, basically, you know, whatever the team's on the field is what the team's on the field, you know.
Oh, no, I mean, it's not an excuse, but you know, it's fact. It's like, you know, hey, we are down to, you know, we don't have our best players right now. It was a good win. Good win yesterday in both of those games. Well deserved. And yeah, you're right. You're playing against the team. You gotta beat the team who's on the field, no matter who it is. Mm-hmm. You know? So a win is a win. You're right on that. But I would not celebrate, you know, against Triple A team. You know?
Well,
it's not worth celebrating.
It's the Triple A Yankees, right? They that's the same team that won 27 championships. As you know, Yankee fans are, you know, and you know, shy and embarrassed to admit you guys have more championships because, you know, obviously, McCauley, you know, you're a humble fan, of course. You know, you would never.
Oh yeah, of course.
You know,
of course.
By your titles or something like that. You know.
Hey, Mets fans bring that up as much as the Yankees fans do.
Well, we have to remind the Yankee fans that, you know, that you're not the only team that won multiple championships in this city, you know, more than one. If you won more than one, that's multiple championships, you know, whether it's 2 or 27, you know, what's the difference between math, you know, it's plural. So
I say this, you know, Yankees bullpen has not been effective as of late, and that's what cost them those two games yesterday. Was it Green in that first doubleheader?
Right.
After Montgomery ran out, he gave up those runs, and then Chapman blows the game yesterday. Mm-hmm. So, bullpen looked they blew it today again without Ottavino. So,
mm-hmm.
The bullpen, which is supposed to be our strength, they got to do better.
Yeah, especially last year.
Keep us stay afloat. Yeah, I mean, that's our strength, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
They have to help us out here because right now we're limited. We have limited offense, so we can't have the bullpen keep blowing games like these.
Yeah. Now you know what it feels to be a Mets fan, because every time, you know, Jacob DeGrom pitches, you think, as a Mets fan, you'd be like, if you're just a baseball fan, you hear, oh, wow, Jacob DeGrom was on the mound. Well, that means the Mets are going to have a good game today. Wrong. The Mets can't hit their way out of a wet paper bag when DeGrom's on the mound. And then when they find, by a miracle, they actually have a lead, whether it's a run-run lead or a three-run lead or even a seven-run lead, as evident as last year, they always find a way to blow it. They can't hit. They can't tack on insurance runs. The bullpen blows it. Like, Jacob DeGrom, man, if he ends up with a no decision, it's a miracle. Because this guy has tough luck losses. He gets no decisions. That he was lead previously, he leaves the game with a lead. Like, this dude literally, the first game, what was this? The game prior to this, this was, I think, Thursday? No, it wasn't Thursday. I think Wednesday. This dude struck out 14 batters, ties a career high, goes 7 innings, only give up 1 run, if I'm serving it right, or maybe even no run. I think it was 1 run. I can't even remember. I think it was 1 run, and he walks away with no decision, because the bullpen, as in typical fashion, they blow the game. That's what I was like. That's what I was thinking. Man, he should pitch in before the Friday night game happened. He should have pitched in the doubleheader. At least he could have had a chance of completing the game, because the bullpen is horrible, and this bullpen in the Mets offense, They are the main reasons why DeGrom is not going to go into the Hall of Fame. Unless if they really look at his ERA and his other statistics other than wins and losses, you know, if they really look at his records for real, that's the only way he has a chance of making it to the Hall of Fame, because his win-loss record is not that great because of this team. They They blow so many games for him, man. It's not even funny. Like, I've, like my fandom as a Mets fan for like at least 20 years, I've seen them. I've seen the team have bad run support for the aces, like Pedro when he was briefly there, Santana. Trying to think who else. But with DeGrom, it's easily the worst run support I've ever seen. Like, it don't matter how many innings he pitched, how many strikeouts he has, how many starts he has where he gives up less than three runs. He always walks away either with a loss because they can't score any runs for him, or they blow the lead for him. It's really embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's really messed up. It's infuriating, to be honest with you. Like, they are literally keeping him out of the Hall of Fame. The Mets need to get their act together.
Hearing that Steve Matz looks like he's going to the IL, right?
No, I didn't hear that.
Didn't he get injured or something, I heard?
Oh, yeah, you're right. He did get injured in the game. That is true. I didn't follow up on that. But, yeah, he did get injured in the game.
Yeah, it looks like, they're saying he's headed to the IL with a shoulder injury.
That is messed up. That's messed up. And the Mets, man, they brought this on themselves, man. Just like how the Yankees, you know, the bullpen was supposed to be their strength. The Mets starting rotation was supposed to be their strength. But the Mets, man, in recent year, man, they just take stuff for granted. They let Wheeler go. They finally improved Wheeler, you know, last year, these past couple of years. And they let him go to the Phillies where he's pitching great. I don't even think he's lost a game yet. And, you know, they let him go. And then, you know, Stroman, obviously he opted out. I mean,
COVID.
Yeah, because of COVID. I mean, they're in desperate need of a rotation. You know, that they had to put, Gesellman and Lugo back. You know, Lugo's their the most reliable reliever they had. You know, they got to put him in the rotation because the rotation, which was a strength, is their weakest link other than Mets hitting with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
You know. But I mean, it is what it is, man. It's just, you know, hopefully with the rumors that. Steve Cohen, he won the bidding war against, you know, A-Rod and J-Lo and Harrison Blitzer, that he has now exclusive rights to negotiate with the Mets, in these next few days before this month ends, you know, so that they can negotiate a deal that, you know, will allow him to buy the Mets. And then another thing is he needs, I think, what was it, 23 out of the 20 out of the what the 20 what the 23 out of the 30 owners. Well, I guess it would be 29 owners because, you know, he would be one of them. So he basically needs 23. If there's eight owners that vetoes the move, he won't get passed.
Mm.
Which, to be honest with you, I think that's what's gonna happen because they're not Major League Baseball. One, he had this insider trading controversy that he had, and two, this guy looks like he has a Steinbrenner mentality of, you know, being a fan and willing to spend the money, you know, to improve the team, which this is what the Mets desperately needed.
Yeah.
You know, they desperately needed this, you know, for the longest time. But I don't think the owners want to deal with a Steinbrenner like owner in New York, even though it would cause buzz in baseball that the Mets are actually competitive. But yeah, I don't think these owners, it's like the Knicks, man. These teams, they want to keep you know, teams that are supposed to be the marquee teams in their sports down because they're making money. The league is making money. They don't care if, you know, their flagship New York teams are, you know, in the toilet, because at the end of the day, everybody else is making money. So,
I mean, wouldn't J-Rod and Chase, their group, they could spend money also. I mean, it's not like they're poor, you know. They have money. They could spend just as much money as Cohen. So I don't understand.
Apparently not, because he's worth $15 billion. A-Rod and J-Lo had to put like $300 of their own money to try to get in the bidding wars, and then they had a bunch of other people team up and banks team up, but apparently Cohen's bid was still higher than them. So, you know, A-Rod, you know, J-Lo, she put out a presser basically saying that, you know, they're saying that they have to give up, you know, that they have to give up their pursuit of buying the team, because she wanted to buy the team because, one, she wanted to be, you know, like the first minority owners of, you know, New York, and a woman owner, and she wanted to buy it, you know, the team that her father grew up rooting for. And, you know, A-Rod said that he grew up a Mets fan, you know, with the 86 team. But they, you know, they're out of it, but I guess they might come back if, you know, Cohen doesn't get approved, because I think that's exactly what's going to happen, because I don't think the league wants to deal with the Mets having a Steinbrenner like owner. And then that's one more big market team they have to compete against. So I just don't see it happening. I hope I'm wrong. Yeah, I believe, like we've been saying on this show for the past 11 years, when it's good news, I'll believe it when I see it. And so far, for the most part, I haven't been wrong. Or at least I can't remember being wrong. But let's shift gears. Let's talk SummerSlam. What was your thoughts on the pay-per-view?
Decent. I mean, there's been better SummerSlams, but it was a decent pay-per-view. I'd probably say my favorite match. Favorite match of the night. I'd probably say the McIntyre and Orton is probably the best match of the night to me.
Mm. Yeah, that was a good match. I was surprised it was a good match. You know, they teased that you never see it coming. You know, it was a match that you haven't seen in a long time. There was no finishers whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
There was, you know, false, you know, Randy Orton tried the RKO so many times, but failed to do it, which that hasn't happened in a long time. And Drew McIntyre didn't even use the Claymore. So, yeah, I mean, that was like an old school battle.
Yeah.
And him pinning him with that, what was it, like a bridge pinfall. Yeah, that wasn't. I mean, we didn't see that coming. But yeah, the big surprise was Roman Reigns coming out. But I guess let's go through the review quickly. Apollo Crews defeated MVP. No surprise there. Bayley defeated Asuka to retain the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship, as we both agreed.
Mm-hmm.
This one is the Street Profits defeating Andrade and Garza. We both agreed on that one, even though I was wavering on it. You know, I thought Garza, I think initially I thought Garza and Andrade would win, but I think I changed my mind. You convinced me to change my mind because I thought.
Yeah, I thought they were going to win it.
Yeah. So, yeah, they did end up winning. Mandy Rose defeated Sonya Deville, which there's no surprise there. And Sonya Deville leaves WWE.
I don't remember much of that match for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, that match? Oh, I didn't even see it. I'd have to go and check that out. I didn't even see that one.
Yeah, I need to rewatch that because I don't remember most of it.
Yeah, Seth Rollins defeats Dominic Mysterio in a street fight. No surprise there, even though I think we both picked Dominic, if my memory serves me right.
Yeah, I picked Dominic.
Yeah. Even though it would have made more sense for Seth Rollins to win, but I guess we felt the revenge factor, you know, he'd avenge his father.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the case. And guess what? Seth Rollins is going to fight Rey Mysterio for the 8th millionth time. Oh, wow. I can't wait. Is he going to blind him with another? Is he going to blind his other eye? Like how many times is he going to do that step thing? Like, they did it to Aleister Black, which, you know, Aleister Black returned and went full heel mode, you know, and attacked Kevin Owens. What else happened? Yeah, Asuka defeated Sasha Banks, which via submission, which, you know, made Asuka regain the WWE Raw Women's Championship, which we all thought of that because, you know, Sasha Banks, you know, which I'm surprised they finally brought it up in WWE that, you know, every time she wins the title on Raw and she tries to defend it on pay-per-view event, she always loses in her first title defense on pay-per-view. I'm surprised they brought that up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, man, they're ruining Sasha's character. Like, I thought it was fine when they did it with Charlotte Flair years ago, because it'd be like, okay, hey, you know, Charlotte Flair got her number. But once she started losing to Alexa Bliss, I mean, like, it's like, come on, man. This is getting ridiculous here. And then her winless streak continues. Like, I mean, this is crazy. Like, she doesn't have any pay-per-view title defense, and she's supposed to be the legit boss.
Yeah, she loses every. I can't remember the last time she's defended a championship.
She's never defended a championship on a pay-per-view event.
Probably NXT days, I guess.
Maybe she did. I mean, when she battled Bayley at the NXT in Brooklyn, she lost the title then. But I'm pretty sure she must have defended her title.
Not in the WWE,
yeah.
But NXT. Yeah, I think she did. Yeah.
Yeah, because it wouldn't be so surprising if she lost it in NXT.
Yeah.
Somehow in WWE, pay-per-view events, she just blows it, man.
Yep.
It's crazy. And then, you know, we got the Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, which we never saw it coming that the title, I mean, you know, I thought Randy Orton was going to win. I think you predicted Drew McIntyre to retain it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we didn't see that. No finishers would have been used in this match. And then last but not least, The Fiend Bray Wyatt defeats Braun Strowman, which we both predicted that would happen. But you know what's the craziest thing happened? I wasn't thinking of Roman. I mean, I think I did say last week that someone could have popped up. Possibly. Maybe I could have said Roman Reigns. I think I might have said Rock. Maybe I might have said Roman Reigns. I can't remember. But while watching the match, I didn't really think much of it, really. It's until, like, after Bray Wyatt won and he was going to turn around, that split second, I was like, I don't know. Like, I just had, like, this feeling that Roman Reigns was just going to spear him out of nowhere. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. Like, that split second or 3 seconds before it happened, like, as soon as Bray Wyatt won the title, held the title in his hand, and he turns around, it just popped in my head that Roman Reigns is going to spear him. And sure enough, Roman Reigns speared him. But what I didn't expect is that Roman Reigns went full heel and speared Braun Strowman and attacked him with a chair. They finally gave WWE Universe what they wanted. They pulled a Rock 2.0. They let him, he disappeared for months, comes back, and now we got the Roman Reigns that we always wanted. A heel Roman Reigns. And another thing that happened on SmackDown. Well,
you think he's heel. I don't think he's heel.
Okay. Did you see SmackDown yesterday?
Yeah, but I didn't. I think he's out for revenge. I don't think he's like, I think right now he's more of like a Stone Cold.
He's a tweener.
The Dean Ambrose type of, you know, character right now. Where he's like an anti, okay. He's an anti-hero,
anti-hero
kind of. Yeah.
Okay. Well, remember, he was attacking Braun Strowman. And then here's another thing because
Braun Strowman is also competing for the championship.
Yeah,
you know?
But Roman Reigns normally wouldn't do that. Another thing is, what proved to me that he's a heel, other than his action, because you didn't believe it and you still have your doubts, when he said that he's gonna whoop both of their behinds, and that's not a prediction. Once he said that, I was like, oh shoot, he's gonna be working with, you know, he might be working with. As soon as he said it's a spoiler, I'm like, oh shoot, he's with Paul Heyman. And then sure enough, Paul Heyman was there, which was still shocking, to say the least, because never in a million years, he's always been, you know, Paul Heyman has always been like lobbying him to be a Heyman, you know, a Heyman guy. And he's always turned them down.
What if he backstabs Heyman?
No, I don't see it. I don't see it happening right now. Down the line, yes. Right now, I think he's like Stone Cold when he made his deal with Vince McMahon. You know, when he basically made the deal with the devil when he joined, you know, Vince McMahon at WrestleMania 17, because that's how badly he wanted the title back. And I think you're basically having a cross between that Stone Cold, you know, the heel alliance Stone Cold, and, you know, The Rock when he was in The Nation, when he finally turned heel and finally was able to give a piece of his mind to the audience, the fans, for, you know, not believing in him and turning on him, you know, after he, when he won the Royal Rumble years ago, when The Rock himself had to help him win the Royal Rumble. When everybody, the year prior to that, everybody was hoping Roman Reigns would win it, but then they made him lose. But then the year afterwards, they force-fed Roman Reigns down people's throats. Because the year prior to that, Roman Reigns was throwing people out left and right, and fans wanted him to win, but he didn't win. I think maybe Triple H won that year. But the year after that, when Rock helped them out, the fans saw that, you know, hey, you know, they're just force feeding him down our throat. And basically that's when the fans, you know, didn't like him, gave him the John Cena treatment, you know, at that time. But now he's a heel, so he's the anti-hero slash heel that the fans have been begging them to do for the longest time. And now you're going to see Roman Reigns get the popularity that WWE wanted him to have.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I'm still not sold on it, but we'll see.
All right. So what does he have to do to convince you that he's a heel? Does he have to look into this?
He has to face other heels going forward.
He is facing heels.
I mean, not heels, but he has to face like other
baby faces
going forward. You know, talking about going against McIntyre, going against guys like.
Well, McIntyre's on Raw, so he's not going to go against him.
Well, if he becomes champion,
Survivor Series.
Let's say he can go, you know, he can then go on the other show, or maybe on a pay per view and fight McIntyre.
Maybe in a Survivor Series type of event or something, bragging rights or something like that.
Yeah.
Other than that, they're going to keep the brands pretty much separate. I mean, with the exception of, you know, the women's tag team champions, because they have the tag team champions where they could go anywhere they want.
Yeah. Well, but guys like that, you know, if WWE starts putting matches with him against babyface like that, then I'll be sold on it. But right now, I'm not sold yet.
I think on Monday Night Raw, you'll be sold. Because he's going to be in the ring with Paul Heyman. They're going to cut a promo about them winning the title at Payback, which, to me,
it's tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a waste of time. They rushed this pay-per-view event.
You think he's going to win the title?
Yeah, I do.
I don't think they're going to put the title on him just yet.
I don't think they should put the title on him yet. I don't think he should have been.
I think they're probably going to wait until WrestleMania to do that, I think.
That would be the smartest thing to do. But
yeah,
they
I don't think he's going to win.
They should have put him in a triple threat match this quickly anyway. Maybe the only way he'd lose is someone had to interfere from the lose it.
Yeah, because Fiend just got the title back. I can't see them just taking it off of him that quickly, you know? That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense, but that's what WWE loves to do the most. They love to swerve people. Let me see what happened I'm trying to think what else happened. Sami Zayn came back. The first time in like 4 or 5 months, you know, since this pandemic, he finally comes back and try to reunite with his friends, Cesaro and Nakamura, who are now tag team champions, but yeah, they're not down with him anymore. They're on their own path. So, you know, basically he has to go solo. And basically, you know, he attacked Jeff Hardy and claimed that he's the legit Intercontinental Champion because he never lost the title, you know, months ago. So that's going to be an interesting storyline.
Yeah.
And I think that's basically all that happened on WWE. Oh, yeah. They're teasing basically Bayley and Sasha Banks are going to break up. They're going to defend the title, their tag team titles against Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, which I think Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler will win tomorrow night, or I should say tonight, since it's after midnight now. I think that's about it on Raw. They Karrion Kross, he relinquishes the title that he defeated Keith Lee for, the NXT world title that he won last Saturday at the 30th takeover. And after he defeated Keith Lee, he suffered a shoulder injury, which on Wednesday night he announced that he had to vacate the title. And Keith Lee made his Raw debut. His Raw re-debut, because he did pop up during that Survivor Series last year.
Fans were complaining that WWE changed his music.
Yeah, they did. That's what I was gonna say. Like, his new music is horrible. They changed his gear a little bit. His music is horrible. His new music is horrible. The other music he had went with his character, like to a T. But WWE, man, they don't listen, man. When it ain't broke, don't fix it. And they for whatever reason, they felt they had to mess up his song. But hopefully they won't mess up his push. And I expect he'll defeat Randy Orton tonight as well, after his match with Randy Orton got interrupted by Drew McIntyre when, you know, after Drew McIntyre punted Drew McIntyre in this call twice, and then afterwards, after his match with Keith Lee, Orton punted him in the skull for the third time that night. So, yeah, that's basically what's going on on WWE and NXT. Oh, yes, Damian Priest, he won the ladder match at the TakeOver last Saturday. So he's a new North American champion, so congrats to him. Can't think of anything else that happened, really. Oh, yeah, Adam Cole defeated Pat McAfee in a good match. I mean, this was the best wrestler versus celebrity / athlete match I've seen. Because McAfee, like, he really put in the work, you know, to make that match competitive. AEW, I'm trying to think what happened. AEW, I'm trying to remember what happened at AEW.
Well, you mentioned earlier on my show that they have audience members in AEW now?
Right. Yes, they got audience back, yeah. They beat WWE to the punch. They got audience, you know, social distancing, you know, most of them wearing masks. You know, they upsetted WWE's Thunderdome. Thunderball. I'm thinking of James Bond. I'm trying to think of the thing. Yeah, the movie. What's the name? Thunderdome. The Mad Max movie. I know I had to try to remember the name of that movie.
Yeah,
so Thunderdome, I mean, it's a good success. You know, it's good to see fans in the you know, in the screen. Even though it's had some crazy stuff with, you know, some KKK popping up on the thing and some people showing Benoit and all these, you know, other crazy stuff. People trying to, you know, do all these crazy stuff, like, you know, to, you know, get attention, I suppose. But other than that, it's been a success, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, on AEW, basically, Brody Lee, you know, the former Luke Harper, he did a funeral for Cody Rhodes because he put a beating on him, you know, last Saturday for the TNT title. And basically, you know, as a result, they attacked Dustin Rhodes and QT Marshall in the ring, you know, and then he introduced 99. I forgot what name. Allie J, I think her name is. Basically, she was the woman who attacked Brandi Rhodes last week. After Cody Rhodes got the beat down, you know, of his career by Brody Lee. And basically, MJF challenged John Moxley to the AEW title. And basically, you know, John Moxley signed the contract. And basically, he challenged MJF's lawyer to a match next week. And, you know, basically, if the lawyer doesn't agree to fight Moxley, then MJF's title match will be canceled. And in that match, that AEW match, Moxley's finishing move, Paradigm Shift, would be banned. So, that, you know, that's going to be an interesting matchup. But yeah, but I guess that's about it. Anything you'd like to say before you go?
No, just again, my condolences go out to Chad Bowick's family. Rest in peace. Everyone enjoy the Payback pay-per-view later today. And just come back here, check out Sports of Religion every Saturdays at 11, only on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, you heard the man. You know, check out Sports of Religion every, you know, Saturdays at 11. Check out the YouTube channel, Sports of Religion TV. But most importantly, you know, my thoughts and prayers go out to Chad Bozak's family, and you know, I'm praying for a miracle for Jacob Blake. And you know, I'll see you guys next time. He's McCauley Matthew. I'm William Remo, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace. Ha ha ha.